Hi, welcome to today's On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of several Tudor history books. Where am I going to take you today, and is it going to be a bad Tudor event or a good Tudor event? Well, sad for the person concerned and family and friends. For on this day in Tudor history, the 20th of November 1591, Sir Christopher Hatton, Elizabeth I's Lord Chancellor and favourite, died at the age of 51. Now, Sir Christopher Hatton was the man that Elizabeth I nicknamed her mouton, the French for sheep, and also her lids, as in eyelids. He was born in around 1540 in the reign of King Henry VIII, and he was the son of William Hatton of Holdenby in Northamptonshire, and his mother was Alice Saunders. Hatton was educated at St Mary's Hall, Oxford, and then we know that he was enrolled in the Inner Temple, which is one of the four inns of the court in London, and that he was enrolled there in 1560. It is not known exactly when Queen Elizabeth I noticed Sir Christopher Hatton, but it may have been in the Inner Temple festivities performed to the Queen at New Year in 1562, in which Hatton may well have participated along with the likes of Robert Dudley. He became one of the Queen's gentlemen pensioners in 1564 and was also chosen to welcome the Scottish ambassador and to escort him into the Queen's presence in the same year. As one of the Queen's favourites, he had an amazing career. So many offices, but offices included captain of the Queen's bodyguard, vice chamberlain of the royal household and member of the Privy Council, Queen's spokesman in the House of Commons, Lord Chancellor, Chancellor of the University of Oxford and High Steward, all sorts of things. Between 1564 and 1587, he was such a favourite of Queen Elizabeth I that he saw her most days, and the longest he was ever away from court was 1 week. This led to Elizabeth's nemesis, Mary, Queen of Scots, claiming that he was Elizabeth I's secret lover, but there's no evidence that he ever actually was. They just seem to have been friends. He was a member of the commission that found Mary, Queen of Scots, guilty of treason in 1586 and was one of the councillors who urged William Davison, Elizabeth's private secretary, to send Mary, Queen of Scots' death warrant to Fotheringay, where she was being held. Elizabeth I's favour is apparent not only in the offices that she gave Hatton, the wonderful career that he had during her reign, and the duties she entrusted him with, but also in the gifts that she lavished upon him, such as in 1572, when Elizabeth gave him 400 ounces of silver plate, which Hatton's biographer Wallace T. McCaffrey points out was twice the amount awarded to ranking dignitaries and eight times the usual gift of 50 ounces. So quite an extravagant gift to give to a courtier. Hatton was said to be a good dancer. He was a keen sportsman as well, taking part in jousting. And he also enjoyed the tradition of courtly love. He was what his biographer McCaffrey calls a consummate player of the tradition. And McCaffrey goes on to say that his role was that of the perpetual suitor who forever worships an earthly goddess with unwavering devotion. A devotion that cannot be fulfilled, but never wanes. And when he wrote to Elizabeth from Spa in 1573, when he'd visited there for his health, he said, "This, the 12th day since I saw the brightness of the sun that giveth light unto my sense and soul, I wax an amazed creature." So that man had a way with words, and he'd also used a special symbol in his letters to the Queen, three parallel triangles. And when she would write to him, she would call him her mouton, or as I said, Lyds, quite often spelling it L-Y-D-D-E-S, because of course in the Tudor period, there was no standardized spelling. Hatton seems to have genuinely cared for Queen Elizabeth. McCaffrey notes that he was unmarried and so had no family to benefit from his favour, and that his loyalty to his queen was undivided, and that they had a very special and stable relationship. He was also a reliable counsellor. His attendance record at Privy Council meetings is as high as those of Sir Francis Walsingham and William Cecil. And he was also chosen at times by the council as a mediator with the Queen due to his good relationship with her. The only time there seems to have been trouble between the Queen and Hatton was when he sided with Robert Dudley, Earl of Leicester, in opposing the Queen's plans to marry the Duke of Anjou. And he actually ended up being banished from her presence for a week. That's that 1 week, the longest time that he ever spent away from her. As well as being a charming, intelligent man and a loyal servant of the Queen, he also served as a patron to men of learning, earning him many, many dedications in works. And he invested in overseas expeditions too, supporting Sir Francis Drake's circumnavigation and Martin Frobisher's Northwest Passage voyages. Sir Christopher Hatton died on this day in Tudor history in 1591 at Ely Place in London. He'd been ill for some time, and Queen Elizabeth I had visited him on the 11th of November, and some sources say that she even took some broth with her to cheer him and to keep his spirits up and to nourish him. That was just Madge making sure that she got her cameo in. He was given a state funeral on the 16th of December 1591 at the Old St. Paul's Cathedral, and a monument was erected at the high altar there by his nephew William, who also, because Hatton had never had children, was his heir. Unfortunately, Old St. Paul's Cathedral was destroyed in the Great Fire of London in 1666, so we cannot visit Sir Christopher Hatton's monument where it was built there by William. So, a fascinating man and a real favourite of Queen Elizabeth I, her mouton and her lids. That's Sir Christopher Hatton, who died on this day in Tudor history. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.